Last week we were blessed to have Pastor Chad and his wife Rachel. She spoke for our women's conference last Saturday, and Pastor Chad shared with us on Sunday, and he continued our series talking of the power of God. And they brought a wonderful time, and I was so blessed for the ministry time. I hope you were blessed. Many of you came forward, heard some testimony of what God did. God is good. And Pastor Chad said something during the ministry time, and then I echoed it at the end, which kind of goes into what we're going to have for a message today. And it's a three-letter word, which is really hard sometimes. And that's ask. You just have to ask. Luke chapter 11, verses 11 through 13. This isn't our message today. This is bonus, okay? So I'm not charging you for this one. Luke chapter 11, verse 11 through 13. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Let's pray. Lord God, we invite you into this place here this morning. We invite your Holy Spirit, and we ask, speak to our hearts. And Lord, as we go through this message, Lord, I believe there's going to be some questions that are going to rise to the surface. And Lord, I pray within our heart, within our mind, within our spirit, Lord, even as the message is going on, we can ask you a question. And Lord, I know you are good and you have an answer for us. It may not be what we expect or what we're anticipating, but Lord, we trust in you. So we invite you, we ask you into this place. And we pray, Lord, move in us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are continuing a series here called The Power of God. Where it's going, what's it looking like, I don't know. I don't have a week-to-week plan, but God does. And that's a challenge for me. I like order and structure. I like to follow the rules and the step-by-steps. And today, as some of you have been here many times before, you know, God drops this in my heart from time to time. My note folder is closed. I don't have notes. So this is going to be fun sometimes. You know, I know where we're going, or I've got the scripture. But if I'm asking you to invite the Holy Spirit into your life, and to trust in the power of God. The power of God does many things. And I have to trust in God. And sometimes he says, Jason, put the notes away. And actually, I was here a little bit earlier, and Sam was about to ask me about the message. And right before he did, I was thinking, maybe I go print the notes just in case. And God's like, no. We need to trust in God. And sometimes it makes us uncomfortable. But it's in our weakness, we learn at the beginning of this series, it's in our weakness that the power of God is shown. And so let's be weak together so God can be strong. And I'm away from my notes, but God's going to show himself today. So before we dive into our primary scripture, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Today, I want to look at, again, we're looking at the power of God. If we invite the Holy Spirit, which we just read in Luke, all we have to do is ask. What does it look like? What do we get, right? What are the features of this power of God, right? And some of you, you can probably identify them. You can think of some. Well, of course, there's some power of God features. There's raising the dead. Miracles, we can pray for people and they can be healed. Prophecy, wow. Now, these are power of God features. These are the ones that we see or hear about and that make us go, wow. But are they the best ones? Or is there a different feature to having the Holy Spirit, to having the power of God with us? Is there a feature that's maybe not as flashy, but maybe it's more important? You know, you go to a car dealership to buy a car. You know, you've got your list of things you're looking for, right? There's certain features you want. You know, how many miles are on it? What's the mileage? How big is the engine? How many does it seat? Does it have leather, heated seats? Oh, that's important up here, right? These are the features we look for. They're important. Em and I, when we got married, she had a 91 Grand Am. It was a hand-me-down. And then I had a 93 Isuzu Pup. We had these cheap little cars, right? And we knew we were both, she had finished college, we both had a job, and we knew that, okay, we got to start replacing vehicles. And hers was first to get replaced. And so we started talking about what do we need for a vehicle, right? What features do we need? And she and I, there's a bunch of things we talked about, but we both agreed upon one feature that we had to have in our next vehicles. Intermittent wipers. Both of our cars had two speeds, fast and slow. So if you had that little mist, you know, that mist you try to time right with your little dial thing, you know, we couldn't do that. We had to, and we didn't have it on our, we didn't have like on the blinker sort of thing. We didn't have it on the column. We had a button. And so it was like, boop, boop. And it was annoying. And we're like, we just want a car with wipers that have variable speeds. Is it too much to ask? And now we have them. And every time, you know, even we had some rain the last few days, and as I'm adjusting the dial, actually is when we were coming back, I think, from the cities, from the concert, I was just like, thank you, God, for adjustable speeds on my wipers. What is the feature you really, really, really want? We want flashy. You know, we want the chrome. We want the tinted. We want the loud. We want the fast. But there are some features. There are some parts of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, that are more important. And I want to look at today, what does this Holy Spirit in us look like? 2 Corinthians chapter 13, the last verse of 2 Corinthians, verse 14. It says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is Paul's final thoughts, his final things. And he throws up three things here. And we've been talking about the power of God, the creation of the universe, how things work, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the three persons of God. And here it is. He's wrapping it up. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is here to give us grace, to give us a gift of eternal life. That's what Paul wants us to remember. Jesus gives us the gift of eternal life. And then there's the love of God. How do you view God? Is he out there to squash us? Is he always mad at us? Does he have daggers for eyes and lightning bolts in his fist? No, he has love. That's God. That's what God gives us. But then it says, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Well, I thought this was power. I thought this was resurrection. I thought this was healing. I thought this was miracles. No, there's something called fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Now, when Paul wrote that, he didn't write F-E-L-L-O. He didn't know English. English didn't exist. I don't think. He wrote it in Greek. And so the word wasn't fellowship. He wrote a different word that some of you may recognize. And that word is koinonia. Ever heard of koinonia? We actually have a ministry group that traveler from Wisconsin, the young adults, teenagers, that they travel in the summer, and we will be hosting them here again at Turtle Lake June 24th. You see how seamless and perfect this little plug is? I mean, this message, wow, man, just, ouch. Okay, anyways, we're going to have Koinonia on June 24th, and they usually have them outdoor in the park. They bring a musical, a gospel musical. It's new every year. It is a great opportunity for you to be blessed. We support them. We do meals and different things. We house them, and so we're definitely going to need your help in that time, but also it's a great time to invite friends and family to hear a great gospel message and be blessed. Koinonia. Anybody know, well, you already know what it means. We read fellowship, and the Greek word is koinonia. Koinonia with the Holy Spirit. It means companionship, communion, fellowship. Actually, there's another word of what koinonia means, and this is the word that makes us go, intimacy. We should have an intimate relationship with the Spirit of God. It's personal. It's close. It's like secrets that only the Holy Spirit knows. That's what the relationship should look like. That's what Paul is encouraging us, that you need to have koinonia with God. You need to have this companionship, this partnership with God. So there we have the truth. Now we're going to go back to our main scripture. We're going to go back to Genesis chapter 18. So you can flip there. That's the first book of the Bible. And we're going to read through the story. A little side note. I don't know if I've ever encouraged you before, but you need to read the Bible. Have I told you that? And sometimes it's hard to understand. Sometimes it's, what do I do? But the Bible is broken up in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And in the New Testament, just like we read in Corinthians, we get this truth. Right, we get a word, we get a subject, something we memorize, like this is the truth of God. And then you go to the Old Testament, and it's full of stories. And the stories typically reveal these truths. And so some of you just want the facts. You go to the New Testament. But some of you, to engage the mind and get the understanding, we go to the Old Testament, and we get these stories. And so we're going to go through a story here in the Old Testament, which I believe describes this relationship, this koinonia with God, with God's Spirit. And so we're going to dive into this story and hopefully get some revelation and understanding. Now, again, we're already on a side note. We'll stay on the side note. The background of this is, it says three men. We believe they're angels. More than likely, there's two angels, and the other one is called the Lord. It very well could be Jesus, before Jesus was born. But he was Lord on this earth. And so there's these three characters, probably two angels and the Lord, having a conversation with Abraham. Now the setup is, why are they having a conversation with Abraham? Well, Abraham and God were good buddies. They had companionship. They had friendship. That's a good starting point. But also Abraham had a nephew, and his nephew's name was Lot. Now, Lot, you know, a few chapters back, moved away. He moved to Las Vegas. And Moses moved to Montana or Wyoming, right? And it's the city, the sin city that Lot moved to, or cities, was Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, perfect. You know what happens in the Bible? You know, I already heard a groan when you say Sodom and Gomorrah. Not good. When we read the Bible, we have preconceived thoughts and ideas. And so we see a word like Sodom and Gomorrah, and we go, oh. And it brings to mind sin, evil, debauchery, homosexuality, God's wrath, right? These are the words that pop into your mind. But we have a hard time reading scriptures if you bring that into it. You see, we're pretty quick to this. Let me give you an example. Let me say a word. Let's do a little word association. I'll be the psychiatrist. You lay on the little bed thing, and I give you a word, and you tell me what you think. COVID. Right? You say a word, and all of a sudden, a bunch of thoughts come into your mind. I'm willing to bet the majority of your thoughts, if not all, are negative. Not too positive. Emily and I, we walk around a block, and we try to do it regularly when the weather's good. We talk, sometimes we pray, and we mentioned something about COVID 2020, and Em made a statement, and she said, "You know what? Oddly enough, from time to time, I miss that." "Well, what do you mean?" She said, "For a few months, we were home as a family. We did everything together. We remodeled the house. We had a project. They were doing homeschooling. We went through the entire Marvel series, like 24 movies. You know, we were together." But we look at that word and you think it's negative, but maybe there's something else in there. And so we're going to read about Sodom and Gomorrah, and in your mind, that's what you're focused on. That's the preconceived idea you have, is this evilness. But when we do that, reading the Word of God, sometimes we miss something greater that God wants to tell us. And I think there is a hidden revelation in this story that if we focus on the evil, we miss what God really wants to tell us. So Genesis chapter 18, starting at verse 17. Again, what does koinonia look like? That's what we're diving into. Should I hide my plan from Abraham? The Lord asked. Should I hide my plan from Abraham? The Lord asked. Okay, so the Lord is there with Abraham. And I look at the scripture, and there's a few things that jump out. Number one, and I think this is permission. Is God talking to himself? Awesome, because I do it all the time. I think it's okay to talk to yourself, because it seems like God is there out loud pondering, should I reveal my plans? But also, that should be encouraging, that God's got plans. God has plans for you. Do you know that? God has a plan for you. He has steps laid out for you. That's encouraging. But should he reveal them to you? It's a question, because you know what? He doesn't have to. God, I got to know what's going to happen today. What's going to happen tomorrow? We want to know all the details. We want to know all the plans. But God's like, you know what? I'm not going to tell you. And that should be fine too. Because if God feels like it, praise the Lord, I'm going to sing loud. If God doesn't feel like it, praise the Lord, I'm going to sing loud. So he's talking out loud. Now, what's the plan he's talking about? So you have preconceived, you've read this story. You know this story. You know the next chapter. What's the plan he's talking about? Sodom and Gomorrah. God's going to destroy it. There's going to be a lady who looks back and turns into a pillar of salt. Yeah. Wrong. I don't think so. I don't think that's the plan. You can't get ahead of God, and you got to dig into the scripture. What is God talking about? What's the plan? Now, why? Why would God choose to tell Abraham his plan? Verse 18. For Abraham will certainly become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. I have singled him out so that he will direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Then I will do to Abraham what I have promised. Let's unpack this a little bit. Why is God going to reveal? Because he knows Abraham in his heart. And he knows that Abraham blesses nations. Do you? Is that your relationship? Do you bless others? Or do you do something completely opposite? Abraham is a blessing to nations. And it says that I've singled him out. He's chosen Abraham. Do you know that God has chosen you? You've been chosen. Why did he choose you? Well, why did he choose Abraham? Abraham's going to direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Do you? Is that your relationship with God? Do you do what is right and just? Do you follow the ways of the Lord? And do you direct others to do the same thing? No? Something we need to work on. You see, God is choosing to reveal his plan. He doesn't have to Abraham, because Abraham loves God. He's got a great relationship. And then I will do to Abraham all that I have promised. We could spend months going through the promises of God. God has promised you many things. When will he fulfill them? Well, there's that then. When you've blessed, when you've taught, when you've gave your whole life to God. God says, I look at Abraham and go, you know what? I feel like I want to tell him some more information. I don't have to, but maybe I will. Verse 20. So the Lord told Abraham, I have heard a great outcry from Sodom and Gomorrah because their sin is so flagrant. I am going down to see if their actions are as wicked as I have heard. If not, I want to know. Let's unpack that a little bit. God's like, do I want to reveal my plans? What is happening here between Abraham and God? I feel like Abraham just said, hey, God, what's up? What you doing today, God? God's like, I'm going for a little walk. I'm bringing these two guys with me, Tweedledee and the other guy. And we're just going for a walk. We're going to go down to this city, and we're just going to see what's up. Did we get any great information? No, God just kind of revealed what his plans were for today. What in the world is this? This is chit-chat. God is having a little conversation with Abraham. Hey, God. Hey, Abraham. How's it going? Oh, not too bad. What you doing today? Well, not much. How about you? They're just having a little dialogue. What is that? That's koinonia. That's fellowship. That's conversation. That's what we should have. That is the feature I think we should be going for. God, did God know what's going on in Sodom and Gomorrah? Yes. Does he know about the sin? Does he know there's evilness? Absolutely. Does he have to come down and go for a walk? Couldn't he just snap his fingers and be there? Sure. Then what's going on? He's taking an opportunity, hit the pause button, and have a conversation with his buddy, Abraham. That's what God wants with you. Let's have a conversation. Let's talk. And I call that powerful. I think that's a feature I want from God. He's trying to get to know Abraham. Verse 22. The other men turned and headed towards Sodom, but the Lord remained with Abraham. Okay, so these two other angels, you know, God said, this is what we're going to do. And they're like, let's go. And they were probably pulling out their swords and pulling out the stone and sharpening them, getting ready for battle, because they're like, it's evil in there. We're getting ready. We're going to do some stuff. And God was like, no. And he stood there. The other two guys are walking away. And I think he's looking sideways at Abraham. And Abraham's sitting there. He's chewing on it. I got a nephew there. And I've heard about it. What's God going to do? Is he actually marching there to destroy my family? He's sitting there and he's chewing. He's got questions in his mind. And God is like, let's go. And then he stops and he's like, wait a second. And I think he's just staring at Abraham. Go ahead, Abraham. 23. Abraham approached him and said, God, will you sweep away both the righteous and the wicked? He asked a question. What is he trying to do? He is trying to understand God. God, how do you make decisions? He asked a question. Awesome. Is it the question? 24. For example, suppose you find 50 righteous people living there in the city. Will you still sweep it away and not spare it for their sakes? Careful, Abraham. Surely you wouldn't do such a thing. Destroying the righteous along with the wicked. You ever ask God questions? God, what happens to the innocent babies that are aborted? God, I really want to know. We have questions in our heart. He's asking a question. And he's got his opinion. He's making it clear. Surely you wouldn't do such a thing, destroying the righteous along with the wicked. Why? You would be treating the righteous and the wicked exactly the same. Surely you wouldn't do that. Should not the judge of all the earth do what is right? And God takes a step back. Eric, careful. Surely God will do what is right according to who? Or is it whom? Sorry, can't remember my English. According to whom? What is right? Do you know what's right? Does God know what is right? I think he does. and I'd really like to know. Now, careful, Abraham. You're challenging God here a little bit. But also, he's throwing out a little equation here. Okay, Turtle Lake, God, there's, 1,100 people or so here. Maybe more on the weekends because we have some guests, at a certain establishment here. God, what's the equation? What's the percentage? What's the calculus on whether you destroy or you don't? I want to know. 26. And the Lord replied, I think it was, he asked the questions, and God's going. God's looking at his heart. God hears a question, but he's seeing further. Abraham, if I find 50 righteous people in Sodom, I will spare the entire city for their sake. Abraham's like, okay, all right. So it's important to have people in a city that love the Lord. God spares. He's not going to wipe them all out. Wait a second. Maybe I asked the wrong question. 27. Then Abraham spoke again. Since I have opened my big mouth, I'm sorry. Since I have begun, let me dangle my life before you and speak a little further to my Lord, even though I am but dust and ashes. Oh, good save, Abraham. God, I'd like to ask another question, but I understand I'm nothing. You're right, you are. You need to remember that. In our relationship, our koinonia, our fellowship, our conversation with God, we are nothing. Does he have to answer us? No, he doesn't. Does he want to? I think so. But we need to remember, we don't know what is right. We are sin and fallen. He knows what's right. It may not go through our mind or our heart the way it should because we are sinners. But God does want to talk to you. But you need to remember, we are dust and ashes. We are the created. He is the creator. 28. Suppose there are only 45 righteous people rather than 50. Will you destroy the whole city for the lack of five? He's getting to the question. He hasn't gotten to the question yet. He's covering it with math. He's trying to understand God's justice and mercy. Where do you show justice? Where do you show mercy? He's trying to ask the question. And God is looking at him going, come on, Abraham, get to it. Ask the question. But Abraham, in his robe, he's dancing. He's dancing around the question, okay? He's not getting there. Because we are so afraid to ask a question. Last week, altar ministry. Pastor Chad and I followed up. You need to come forward and ask the question. And it dwindled down, and then all of a sudden the floodgates opened because, I'm sorry, some of you stubborn northern Lutheran, sorry, was that mean? We're Swedish, whatever. We don't want to open our mouth. We're shy, we're timid. We don't want to ask a question. We keep it to ourselves. And I heard testimony, great testimony, if they're here, that someone went home and it was still burning in their heart. I needed to go forward and ask a question. And they turned around and came back. Ask the question of God, but wait for his understanding, not yours. And if he doesn't answer you, doesn't lay out the plan, that's okay, because he's God and we are dust and ashes. God is sitting there going, come on, Abraham. Are we going to do math all day? Do you want me to get the whiteboard? Is that what you're really asking? And the Lord said, do you have that in yours? That's what that comma is. It's a big sigh. I will not destroy it if I find 45 righteous people there. You see, we think God does things based upon if this, then that. You got Larry and Leroy. Both love the Lord. Larry is healed of cancer. Leroy is not. And we go, God, is it because Larry knew you longer? Is it because he did this, this, and that, and the other thing? We try to understand. We want to understand how God, why God does what he does. But we're asking the wrong question. We have the wrong world view of what's going on. 29. Then Abraham pressed his request further. Suppose there's only 40. And the Lord replied, I will not destroy it for the sake of 40. See, what you think is they're here having a little conversation, right? He's there, he's there. They're actually not having a conversation. They're actually at a little table, and there's a couple little plastic things between them, and it's called Battleship. And Abraham is saying, be 14. And God is saying, miss. Abraham is, there's the question. There's the battleship. And he's just hitting all around it because he's afraid to ask God. Why is he afraid to ask God? Because sometimes we don't want to know the answer. Because sometimes the answer is get over yourself. You need to go to that person and apologize. But they're the one that you need to get into the Word. You need to get into prayer. You need to lead that Bible study. You need to speak boldly. You need to give your testimony to that individual. We don't want to ask the question because we're afraid of what the answer might be. Because our worldview is so small. It revolves around us. And God has plans that don't revolve around us. Will he reveal it to you? 30. Please don't be angry, God. Abraham pleaded. Let me speak. Suppose only 30 righteous people are found. And the Lord replied, I will not destroy it if I find 30. Miss. God has to be so patient right now. Okay, I'm grateful, Abraham. We're going by tens now instead of fives. You know, it speeds us up a little bit. I got places to go, but Abraham, I love you. Keep asking. But Abraham, I want you to ask the question that is on your heart. God is so patient. He is so patient with you. 31. Then Abraham said, since I've dared to speak to the Lord, let me continue. Suppose there's only 20. And the Lord replied, then I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. He's trying to get to the plan. God, what is it? Do you know God has plans for you? Now, we can find his plans by either him telling us, which we'd prefer, but even if he did, I bet y'all are probably not going to follow it. God would say, I want you to get into the Word regularly. Yeah, but God, I got to have my coffee, and then I got to do this, and I got to read news. And God's going to say, I want you to go give your testimony to that coworker. Yeah, God, that's a terrible plan. God has a plan for you. And either we follow it in obedience because we're looking for open doors where the Holy Spirit is leading, or the sledgehammer, the guillotine, the thunder, the lightning, the fire is kind of pushing us to where God's plan is. God has a plan for you, and he wants to reveal it to you. We have to ask. God has a plan for you where you're at right now, and it is good. It is perfect. It is wonderful. But Abraham's missing the point. 32. Finally. Somehow in his language, somehow in his body language, this is it. Abraham's going to ask his last question. Abraham said, Lord, Please don't be angry with me if I speak one more time. Suppose only 10 are found there. He asks his last question. But I believe it's not the question, because he's afraid to ask God, because he's uncertain. But he's trying to get to know God's heart, and God is trying to get to know Abraham's heart. This is fellowship. This is koinonia. This is communication. This is intimacy. God, I want to understand your heart. Abraham, I want to understand yours. They are trying to learn about each other. That's what our relationship with God should look like. That should be the feature you should be looking for most all, above all other things. Not flashy ministry, not miracles. God, I want a relationship with you. God, I want to talk to you like I talk to my best friend. And God says, I know. I created you that way. And that's why I gave you the Holy Spirit, to experience this on a whole new level. Relationship, you and me, chit-chat, talking about the day. That's what God wants. Abraham asks his final question, and the Lord replied, then I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. Miss. He didn't ask the question. I believe there's one more question. I think it's the thing that's eating at him, but he's afraid to voice it. And I think he's sitting there. He asks that question, and he still has that same look of uncertainty. And God is like, are we done? Have you asked everything you want to ask? You ever done that with your kids? They're sitting there, and you know there's some more information. He's looking at them. He waits patiently. Abraham is silent. He's chewing on this. 33. When the Lord had finished his conversation with Abraham, he went on his way. And where did Abraham go? Thanks, God. I'm just going to go home. He went to his tent. I think he went through the flaps at the front. And God just stood there and waited. Okay. And God went on his way. I believe this is a great picture of what our communication with God should be. A back and forth. Getting to know God. God getting to know us. Asking him questions. But you can't beat around the bush. You need to ask the question that is burning in your heart and be prepared for what the answer is. But Abraham was not prepared for the answer because he had a small world view. I think he's thinking about Lot, the one person he knew. And I think he's thinking about, wow, is Lot righteous? If it's one person, is Lot righteous? If the answer is zero, there's no hope for them. He didn't want to get the number down because he was concerned about the consequences. But God is sitting there like, Abraham, you are so close. You are so close to revelation and my plans. You just got to ask the question. And the question Abraham should have said, God, what if it's only one person? What if in a community of 1,000 people, there is only one righteous person that loves you and everyone else is evil and sinners? God, will you destroy them if there's one? God, if we're surrounded by sinners in this world and there is only one perfect person that looks after you and calls on your name, will you spare everyone? God, if you have destruction coming against this world, and there is only one person that speaks your name, will you spare? And God says, yes, that is my plan. Let me introduce you to someone. His name is Jesus Christ. And he is the one, he is the only one that I can look at the world and you are all going to be destroyed because you are sinners and backsliders. But I will look at the one righteous one, Jesus Christ, and I will spare them all because I love them. Abraham asked me the question. Abraham thinks it's him, or Abraham thinks it's Lot, but God's plans that should I reveal to him has nothing to do with Abraham or Lot, so to speak. It's Jesus. Abraham, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you what my plan is. My plan is for this world to get to such a terrible place that only one person can stand in the gap, Jesus Christ. But in the meantime, Abraham, before he comes, Abraham, I need help. You know what I'm thinking? This is just my thoughts. I think God is sitting there like, Abraham, let's go for a walk. Why don't you come down to this evil city with me? Because I think God knows that if Abraham saw the evil of that city and he saw his loved ones that were going to be swept away, Abraham would go, wait, God. I'm with them. Let me stand in the gap, God. Don't destroy my nephew. Don't destroy my great nieces. God, no. No, if you love me, God, I will be in this city, and I will teach them the ways of the Lord. I will do what is right and just so that they can bless your name. Let me stand in the gap. And God would sit there and go, well, done. You get it. You get my plan. God is looking for you to stand in the gap, in the uncomfortable, in the dangerous, in the worst spots in the world, standing before people that you can't stand. God is saying, I need you to stand in the gap for them. But God, I can't do it. God, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. And God says, well, then let me help you out. Let me give you my Holy Spirit. Let me give you my power. And you can stand in the worst places on this planet. You can go to the worst people and say, God loves you, and I will move. That is God's plan for you. But you have to ask. So what does koinonia look like? I'm going to blitz you with a bunch of verses here. God in his spirit is gentle. He's a gentleman. We think God is pushy. He is not pushy. When we have koinonia with God, when we have the Holy Spirit within us, what does that relationship look like? Well, how does the Holy Spirit guide us? Acts 20, 22, and 23. And now I'm bound by the Spirit. The Spirit is telling me, go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me, except that the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. The Holy Spirit is saying, okay, Paul, go this way. Okay, I'll go this way. What's going to happen, God? We'll see. Go this way. Okay, God, what's going to happen? Well, you might go into jail. Okay, God, that's fine. That's how God leads. Acts 10, 19, and 20. Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, three men have come looking for you. Get up and go downstairs and go with them without hesitation. Don't worry, for I've sent them. Okay, God, what's the plan? You don't need to know. Just trust me. I would like you to go with them. Okay, God, I'll do that. That's what koinonia looks like. That's what trust in the Spirit looks like. Acts 28, 26. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. Then what? Doesn't matter. Go for a walk like I did years ago with Abraham. I'll lead you. I'll show you the way. Just go, Philip. And Philip's like, you know what? God, I love you. I trust you. I'll do that. Acts 8, 29. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk beside the carriage. He's just walking, and there's probably people on the road, and there's a carriage, and God says, hey, just go up to that carriage. That is what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is not a sledgehammer. The Holy Spirit is a person that we are to have a relationship with, we are to have conversations with, that leads us and guides us. And the Holy Spirit is looking for you and I to ask simple questions like, God, what do you want me to do? Abraham should have said one. God would have said, yes, I will spare it for one. And Abraham should have said, okay, God, I'm uncertain if there's anyone in that town that is righteous. And God would have said, yeah, you're probably pretty accurate with that statement. Okay, God, what do you want me to do? Because I'm willing to do it. Because I love my nephew. Do you have someone in your heart and your mind that you've been praying for? That you love? That if they drew their last breath today, if they beheld their last sunrise and the sun set on their lives today, do you have someone that you're uncertain where they're going to go? Then you say, God, what do you want me to do? God, I really don't want to do that, but you're all powerful. God, I ask for your Holy Spirit. God, I need you to help me. I need your power, your words, your thoughts, your plan. It's greater than mine. That is what koinonia is. And that's what I want you to have, a relationship with God. You get up in the morning, yawn, do whatever it is, and say, good morning, God. I'm so glad I get to spend this day with you. And then you give your wife a kiss on the cheek. Hey, you're not too bad either. This is the relationship God wants. But yeah, I love you. You stubborn people, you got to ask. Just got to ask. Ask the question that's burning in your heart. Don't beat around the bush. Ask the question. So I'm going to conclude in prayer here. I'm going to bless you. We'll pray to dismiss. But Pastor Arvin, I'm going to invite him to come forward here as well. We're going to be here at the altar. And if you have a question to ask, ask it before you leave. Don't go home and regret it. Because if you turn around and come back, I might not be here. But whatever it is, if it is, as we read in Luke, simply saying, God, I want your Holy Spirit, then you're going to come forward. It's going to take us 5 seconds. I want to pray for the Holy Spirit. Okay? Ask a question. God, I ask for your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Bless you. Doesn't have to take all day, but it requires you opening your mouth and your heart to God, saying, God, I need. You have a question, you ask. And after ministry is down, we'll have a little pause, and then we'll prepare for the baptism if you'll be staying with us. But I put the challenge before you this week, as we've done every week in the series, and we will continue to do. If there is business you need to take care of, don't go back to your tent. Come to the Lord and ask a question. Let's pray. Thank you for your word, Lord. Above all, I thank you for your plan, whatever it is. But I know your plan revolves around Jesus Christ. He is the center of our universe. And we look to Jesus. And we're grateful for the grace, the gift that he gave us of life for those that ask. We need the Spirit. We need Jesus. God, we need you and your love. Father, you are good to us. And Lord, there are some here that just have a question burning in their heart. And we want to give opportunity to ask that before the Lord. And as I think of this, you don't even have to ask with Pastor Arvin or I. You can just come to the altar and ask. God, I know you're a good father. We just read that in Luke. And you give good gifts and good things. And you have good things in store for us today. So, Lord, I pray that we can get past our embarrassment, our stubbornness, our insecurities. And we can come to you and ask the question. And also be willing to say, God, use me. We give opportunity, Lord, for you to minister today. And Lord, I also pray as we dismiss, Lord, for those that go from here, I pray they are blessed and encouraged. I pray that they've grown closer to you. I thank you for those here that have a wonderful friendship and relationship with you. I pray that they can encourage others. lead others into the way of the Lord and teaching them what to do, what is right and just. Lord, we're at all different levels in this. But Lord, we all need you every moment of every day. We need your power. We need your Holy Spirit. Bless us, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As you're dismissed quietly, I'm wondering if you guys can just play some quiet instrumental music as we're up here. And again, if you're staying for the baptism, we'll start in maybe 10, 15 minutes. But if you feel like the Lord has something on your heart, I invite you to come. Come to the altar this morning.